Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, helping to create a storehouse of possibilities and products from a single seed. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Welcome to the Closing Marker Report. It's November the 9th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk with Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois, and we'll take a complete look at today's futures market with him. A bit later in the program, Bill Mayer, Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, will join us to take a look at the cash grain market. And in between, we'll hear a conversation I had this morning with Daryl Good not long after the United States Department of Agriculture released its latest crop production and world agricultural and supply demand estimates. We take up an interesting discussion about cash grain marketings and where they are at this point. Be sure to stay with us for that today. It all happens right here on AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. December wheat at $4.88, off 16 cents. The soft red winter March contract at 508.5, down 17 for the afternoon. December corn futures at $3.50, settled down 7.75. The March at 366, down 7.5. And the May contract, 372.25, down 8.25. July futures in the corn pit at 377.25. They finished down 7.25 for the afternoon. December futures for next year in the corn pit at 348.25, down 11 cents for the day. November soybeans at 657.5, off 8.75. January futures at 669.5, off 8.5. And March contract at 681.25. They were off 7.5 cents this afternoon. November beans down 2.5 at 705. December bean meal futures at 198.30. They were down 270. December bean oil futures at 27.71 at the Chicago Board of Trade. Down a penny for the afternoon. Mercantile exchange numbers, November feeder cattle's $100.47.5, and they were off $1.52.5. December futures in the live cattle at 85.87.5. Off 42.5, and the FABs at 89.10 were down a dime for the day. December lean hogs, 60 cents lower at 64.70. The outside markets, crude oil, December contract at $61.15 a barrel. They were down up $1.32 at this hour. And the dollar at 85.15 is down 0.33. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,100 is down just about 76 points for the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange and the numbers that were released by the United States Department of Agriculture this morning for the WASDE and the Crop Production Report is Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let me go through the numbers very quickly as they were released from USDA this morning. Corn production and now at 10.745 billion bushels. That's down 160 million from the October estimate. The ending stocks at 935 million, down 31 million. And the average yield per bushel at 151.2 is nationwide. Soybean production at 3.204 billion. That's up about 15 million. Ending stocks at 565 million. They're up 10 million. And the yield, bushels per acre, at 43 bushels to the acre nationwide. How did you view those this morning, and did things proceed orderly on the market throughout the day?
Well, I think you knew you were in trouble, like I told Dave earlier on the morning session, is that when you got to be careful when the trade misses its call, and this call was, you know, 4 to 5 higher or so on corn, and you know, 2 to 4 higher on beans, and 2 to 4 or 5 higher on wheat. And I wasn't here exactly at 9:30 when they opened, but I know we barely opened steady or maybe slightly lower, and then we began to kind of weaken. So here toward the end of the day, we saw that long liquidation that took place because there was a group of people was betting on a higher open, and they wanted out, and they didn't get that higher open, and they kind of hung around for the remainder of the day to see if the market would regroup and rally, and it didn't, so they finally ended up bailing out here in the last half hour of trade. I think the core number, I guess my initial reaction to it, this was my thoughts prior to the report, is that the reason the market took this last jump up was the Infoma number, which showed corn crop like about 175 million bushels less than the October report, and that was here a week ago or a week and a half ago, which gave us that big push on up into the 253 level here last week before we kind of settled back for a day or two. That number fit was inside that range. It was 100 million more than what the trade average was, but it was not a number that the market hadn't traded. And so I think you kind of view that as somewhat old news in a way. It goes back to that buy the rumor, sell the news, and something that the trade wasn't expecting with that type of decline is that they were not braced for a 100 million bushel drop in demand. USDA shaved off 50 million in feed and residual use and 50 million in exports. So the carryover number came in pretty much what the trade was looking at, as they were looking for like a 50 million bushel drop. So I think, you know, it was one of those deals that there was really nothing new in the market, and there was some long liquidation that needed to take hold, and it did take hold today.
Would you consider the drop to fill the gap made yesterday just a technical bounce down, or is it more important than that?
Well, I'm one that says if you don't that if you fill gaps, that's an indication that the market on the downside is weak. If it's on the upside, if it fills a gap that it left somewhere down the road and it fills that indicates that it's strong. It's only when those gaps can't be filled on the upside, then that's a point of resistance, or on the bottom side, that's a point of support. So I think the fact that we closed the gaps here today on generally bullish news. Remember, we not only had a bullish production number, but we had a 2 million ton bushel export sales week. So the fact that corn closed lower and closed the gap yesterday on generally bullish news is not a real positive sign. I'm not sure it's the absolute negative that you're going to see in the market, but it does tell you that we've kind of run our course for a minute in here, and we're going to consolidate.
And will we go back down to try to catch the next gap then? I think that's at 354 in the December contract.
There were probably one down there around 44, ain't there, or something. I don't know about 54, but we got all kinds of gaps on the downside.
Well, that's
the corn
top
market,
end,
basically, as of yesterday, you could probably read yesterday's gap as the sixth gap that we have had, gap open, since the market came out of its low there in middle part of September. So you could almost say that yesterday's gap open, and now that we filled it, was kind of one of those exhaustion type gaps. And you know, if we did turn the market down, there's all kinds of gaps to go on the downside. One other technical point is that yesterday's move to 367 creeped into a chart gap that was left in 2004 on the way down, and it was not able to fill that gap completely. It went to, in order to fill that gap, he had to go to 67 and a quarter cent. We only went to 67, so that was, and then the market began to sell off of that, and we closed down, you know, dime off the highs. And then today, with the bullish news, you weren't able to regain that momentum, so then the market slipped down again. The other thing is the 50% retracement level from the 96 high down to the 2000 low is 364. So those numbers, so the 360s here is a hard spot for the lead futures contract. And so far it kind of looks like December futures kind of ran into some of that resistance here this week.
So there's a cautionary note at this point. This spot in time. We talked, just take me through longer term when you look out. 6 months and maybe into next season by the time we get to fall. But let's start with the 6 months. You've told us before that you thought that maybe they were going to build a bunch of the demand that might come next spring into this fall. Would you be satisfied? At what point would you be satisfied that that's been done? And then if it is done, where do we go from there?
I'm not a genius, Todd.
I know. I'm just asking the question. It's my job.
I barely passed my ACT test when I took that 40 years ago. Yeah. I barely got into college. you're right. I'm in the in the opinion that we ran the risk of pulling all the bullishness forward into the marketplace and doing a short crop, long tail a year in advance, just as the market is working fundamentals a year in advance. I mean, it's, the market is more worried about next year's acres and this continuation of demand. So, as you know, we're working a short crop a year in advance, so we made the market may end up acting like a short crop in the current year. So you have to be a little careful. But I'm not too sure we're there yet, whether or not 350 can do that. But there's a lot of things around. You could probably say that the market is ready to throw some people off. I think the market is heavily long. I think there's an awful lot of $4 expectations out there, hanging in the winds. And, you know, we may go to $4, but I think before you get there, that the market may throw a lot of people off and may trick them into selling lower and whatnot. So, but this is a point that I've kind of had for a long time. First half of November is a cautionary window. In years past, you know, once an election is passed and then once the November crop report is passed, and both of those have come and gone, that all of a sudden we begin to run out of news as you go into November and December, because a couple weeks from now we're going to be right into Thanksgiving weekend, and then we get into the holidays, and we're kind of done with the supply adjustments for now. I mean, the next report's not till January, and that's going to be a real key report. The December report they may tinker a little bit with demand, but it doesn't look like there's any kind of major supply adjustments coming on the December report. So when you get into a lack of news type situation after you've had a good run up like this, I think one has to, be concerned, keep looking over your shoulder, and I think there's a group of farmers that probably will need to put some income into this year if they haven't already done that, for one reason or the other. We're such fund-dominated type trading, more that the funds will be wanting to take profits for the year, for the quarter. So there's reasons that we may liquidate a little bit. But only thing I can tell you is that, based upon my cyclical work, that I think we're in a window here that one needs to be a little careful in.
We appreciate all your help. Thanks much.
You're very well.
Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Thursday afternoons.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580. We're joined now by University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Daryl Good. Good afternoon to you, Daryl.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's talk about this release this morning of the USDA crop production and ending stocks numbers. We've gone through these once. Corn production number of 10.745 was off 160 million from the October. The ending stocks at 935, they were down 31 million bushels. And the yield for corn at 151.2, it was down 2.3 bushels to the acre. Pretty orderly start to the market this morning.
It really was. it was fairly clear going into the report that the market expected a smaller corn estimate this month. The average guess was down about 100 million bushels. So down 160, I thought, was a little bit surprising, and we might have anticipated a little sharper reaction to that. But it really underscores how tight the balance sheet is getting on corn this current marketing year.
And do you have concerns about the rationing process and how it might take place?
Well, clearly the USDA thinks now that we will start to do some rationing in what I call the non-fuel uses of corn. They scaled back 50 million bushels, their forecast of exports and feed use of corn for the current year, thinking that the move to higher prices that we've seen here since mid-September probably will cut into consumption. We have enough inventory at this production number that we don't have to scale back that much at this point. But the ending stocks number is getting awfully small. We could take it down another couple hundred million bushels if we had to, but things are getting pretty snug, and there is some concern, if you want to put it that way, that the January final production estimate could even be lower than the November number, which would snug up the figures a little more.
Ignoring this year's marketplace, because it's pretty obvious that corn has been marketed ahead or across the scale pretty rapidly by producers, so that they're maybe 70 or 80% sold at this time. So they might have their Las Vegas corn, I suppose, left that they want to play with. But next year's crop, we have to look forward to at price levels that are pretty decent at this point. But there'll be an awful lot of farmers that are interested in reaching for higher heights. Should they do that? How should they go about marketing next year's crop?
Well, let me say first, Todd, that farmers still own the majority of the old crop. While some producers may have sold quite a bit, we would anticipate that there's probably no more than 25% of the new crop, of the 06 crop, that's been sold at this point. If it's more than that, it would be a huge deviation from what we see in most years. So there's still a lot of decisions to make on the 06 crop by producers.
Is that spread geographically different? Because most of the time when we talk to elevators in the cash grain area here in Illinois and Indiana, there's an awful lot of it that's sold. Is it out west? Where is it?
Well, I think you get a real biased picture talking to elevators, because we just don't deviate that much from year to year in terms of the amount of corn that's sold during, say, the first quarter of the marketing year, the first 3 months, and it would be rare that would be much over 35% of the crop. So I think there is still a lot of decisions to make on the old 06 crop, Todd, and I think right now producers have decisions to make on both the 06 and the 07, and I think in response to your question that many of them now are even more optimistic about price and probably are going to be a little reluctant to sell too quickly now, particularly if for those individuals that have already sold a fair amount of the new crop, of the 06 crop, at lower prices. They're a little bit hesitant now to jump in and get everything sold before we even get into concerns about the 07 crop. And certainly that's probably when the rubber is really going to hit the road, when we see what kind of acreage we have next year and what kind of growing season. Do we get enough supply response that we can accommodate consumption at current levels? Or do we have a shortfall in production that aggravates the current tightness in inventory?
Well, that changes the way I'm thinking about the marketplace in that case, and we better talk about that 06 crop and how to cash market it. Are you of the idea then that market either market corn or soybeans, one of the two, to take care of your cash flow needs, just only that amount that you need to do at this point, and then hang on to the rest? What do you want to do?
I think there's a case to be made for hanging on to a fair amount of the crop into the spring of the year. So I want to get some sold now to take advantage of this huge rally that we've had, recognizing that prices could moderate or even set back a bit during the winter months. And then things are going to get exciting again as we anticipate the acreage report and the start to the 2007 growing season. I think that may be the next window of opportunity if we're going to get another leg up in this market would come at that time period. So, yes, get some soul now, certainly, what you think you're going to have in the way of cash flow needs and hang on to a bit into the spring of the year.
So the real question then is, because we've asked many times how much is sold, and when will we have an opportunity to see how much has been marketed? Where will that number come from? Because we're not under LDP, so we can't see it at this point.
No, and we won't see how much is marketed until the year is over. I mean, the USDA surveys elevators every month, ask them, how much corn did you buy? And how much money did you spend buying that corn, so that on a monthly basis we get an average price paid, but we don't know until the marketing year is over what percentage of the crop was sold at that price. At the end of the year, then the USDA can do a weighted average price. What I'm basing my guess on is just looking at history. We have records going back a large number of years that shows the percentage of the crop marketed by month. Once the marketing year is over, we have that data, so we have the historical pattern, and it just is not that variable from year to year. Yes, we typically get a fair amount marketed pre-harvest or during the harvest window, but certainly I'm guessing we still own well over half of the crop at this point.
We'd better take up soybeans as well. Production released for November at 3.204. That's up 15 million bushels. Ending stocks up 10 million bushels at 565. And the average national yield now 0.2 of a bushel higher than it was last month at 43 bushels to the acre. Is soybeans just following along? What's the normal ratio? And will it stay at that point with corn?
Yeah, I think you'd really have to say soybeans is a follower at this point. I would characterize it as soybeans trying to protect their turf a little bit, thinking that if we have $3.50 corn, we really could see an overreaction on corn acres at the expense of soybeans. So the thought is soybean prices need to follow a little bit, even if it's at a distance, in order to make sure that we don't overreact on the acreage decision come spring. So we have seen a pretty good rally in soybean prices, but you're maintaining, as you look out to next year, you're maintaining about a 2-to-1 price ratio, which is probably about right in order to encourage some switch from corn to soybeans. From soybeans to corn. Certainly that's well below the historic thinking of 2.5-to-1, but obviously two things are different now. One, it costs relatively more to grow corn now than it does soybeans. That is, the cost of corn production have increased more rapidly than the cost of soybeans. And two, we don't want to just maintain acres. We do need to see some switch. So the price relationship has to reflect both of those factors. So I wouldn't be surprised that corn and soybean prices kind of move in concert right now, but still maintain that 2-to-1 price ratio.
Thanks much, Darrell. We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Todd.
Darrell Good, ag economist at the University of Illinois.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Bill Moore, mayor of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, now joins us to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Some interesting thoughts that we heard from Darrell Good. That, of course, recorded this morning. And then Dave and I sent out a little survey to see what farmers were actually up to. And the numbers are actually coming back in fairly quickly. I was surprised we had 10 or 12 responses within the first hour or so of sending that survey. And I didn't think that many farmers were at home. We'll see how that goes. We'll send out we'll talk
about it. A couple of clarifications on that, I think, Todd, might be in order.
Yeah, please do.
And I think Darrell alluded to this. The numbers that you're talking about here on percent sold, I mean, that's based off a survey, as Darrell said, of the elevators. And it's actually when the elevator pays for the grain.
That's correct.
That it goes in there. So it's not necessarily the decision is made.
I think I'll have to go back and clarify this with Daryl, because I think what he actually told us, and I've seen this a couple of times from the analysts who are signed up from the newsletter, is that the USDA does the survey but does not release those numbers, and then it weights the percent of crop actually purchased.
Yeah, I guess my point is, if a farmer makes the decision today to sell corn but doesn't take payment on it till January, that won't go on the books until January as far as
the survey goes. But I think the survey then, the reason we don't see the survey until the end of the year is that it's weighted and it actually moves the deliveries into those months. But I've got to get some clarification, probably from Daryl and USDA both, to see how that survey actually shows up. So we'll see where it is. But my concern was that we've got the cash grain oversold at this point, and I've been asking the wrong questions, and I just want to make sure that we get it right more than anything else, because I think that's important.
And I think there's probably a higher, just my take on it would be there's a higher percentage than we normally see at this time sold. Now, what that number is, I'm not sure I can put a good number on it.
Yeah, and we'll try to get some better numbers from the 1,800 or so that are on that list, and we'll report back on it as they come in. I won't report early on it because I just don't think it would be fair until we get 4 or 5 days or a week response, because you never know how the numbers turn out. They change. We saw that in the elections over time. They change over time, and you don't want to call things too early. So tell me about the cash grain market from your...
The cash grain has been... beans have been pretty stagnant here, not much going on. You saw the processors come in a little bit and got some stuff bought and then backed off right away. The corn, interestingly, the western part of the state over towards Burlington, along the river, has been stronger, has come in pretty good here this past week, up 4, 5, 6 cents in some cases. So I think, part of that is because they're just in a lot of movement right now. I think the corn has been delivered, is put away, and there's not any new sales being made as far as the farmer's concerned.
I would say of the responses we have so far, the bin doors are shut was written in more than a couple of them. So we'll see how that goes. What are your bids for the day, by the way?
335 on corn, 637 on soybean.
We appreciate you being with us today.
Thanks, Todd.
Bill Mayer, Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, joining us on this Thursday afternoon. Time now for your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Farm officials say high grain prices combined with forecasts for strong corn and soybean harvests could yield the best year for Illinois farmers in at least a decade. The U.S. Department of Agriculture reported today that Illinois soybeans are on pace to match record yields of 2004, while this year's corn harvest could be the state's fourth best ever. Grain prices also continue to climb as growing ethanol and biofuel production boost demand. The department boosted its soybean price forecast by 50 cents from last month and raised the corn price forecast by 40%, or rather 40 cents. The president of Parkland College is hospitalized after suffering a heart attack this morning. Robert Exley fell ill while playing in a staff versus students charity basketball game. He was taken to Carle Foundation Hospital, where a stent was implanted in his right side. Parkland College says Exley will be moved out of intensive care tomorrow and could go home on Saturday. 2 days after winning a second four-year term, Governor Rod Blagojevich visited Marion this morning to rally support for his plan to boost the minimum wage by $1 to $7.50 an hour. Blagojevich wants state lawmakers to pass the measure during the fall veto session, which begins Tuesday. The governor calls the increase well-deserved for nearly 650,000 Illinoisans he says make minimum wage. He also wants that wage to be indexed to inflation, meaning annual increases as the cost of living rises. Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels is proposing a big highway project around Indianapolis. He wants a toll road to carry traffic from I-69 northeast of Indianapolis to the east and south of the city, finally connecting with I-70. He says money from the private road would be used to make the I-69 extension from Indianapolis to Evansville a free highway rather than a toll road. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. On a Thursday afternoon, we're joined by Pete Levitt to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the forecast very quickly for the next week across the globe.
Well, for the next week, as crops go, we've got a cold front coming through with a few showers late tonight, tomorrow. then drier weather, cooler temperatures, then another batch of showers later in the week. The bottom line is it stays kind of wet in the eastern Corn Belt where the harvest is behind schedule. And the emergence of winter wheat is behind schedule as well. So that might be a problem later on. Temperatures will fluctuate from a beautiful day today to seasonal during most of the rest of the week, a little colder weather late in the week.
And a very quick word on South America.
South America weather looks good. They've had their showers in Brazil, and they've got enough moisture to go, and the temperatures are pleasantly warm.
We appreciate you being with us.
My pleasure.
Pete Leavitt, agricultural meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Thursday afternoon. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the agricultural markets. Dave Dickey will bring you that. And then that at 11:30 a.m. on Saturday morning, we'll take a complete look at all that happened in the world of agriculture with Commodity Week. And you can always pick everything up right there off our website at willag.org. If you haven't been there, we fixed the technical problems, and the MP3 files should be available. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a great afternoon.